All right, so up to this point, we've been focusing on our pathway to preparation rectangle here, which is a great deal of help to us. We've been figuring out how to move from the text to the audience. And we have focused on some tools that help get us up this first leg, talking about context. We focused on connecting to the gospel through theological reflection. We've talked about argument. That's taken us to the audience here. We're going to be moving again to this part of the rectangle and understanding something about what is going on in our texts. And the tool that we're going to be introducing now is called melodic line. Melodic line is what we're going to be discussing now. About 4 or 5 years ago, when I was at a Simeon Trust workshop in Bristol, Wisconsin, I fell in love with the book of Ecclesiastes during the course of a melodic line talk. And one of the things that I've been praying for is that during our melodic line talk, we might together fall in love with the book of Hebrews more as we see the beauty of the message together and start to think through some of what the melodic line looks like in the book of Hebrews. That has been literally a prayer that I've had that we would fall in love together with the book of Hebrews as we talk about melodic line. So the melodic line is a melody of repeated notes throughout a music. It's a distinct musical phrase repeated throughout a piece formed by a particular set of notes. It's the music, the full musical piece is very powerful, and the melodic line helps us to understand what's happening in that musical piece. It also helps us to recognize that piece and to understand what's going on, perhaps, in the broader piece. Let me illustrate this for you. A couple weeks ago, I was watching a movie with my son. He's 2 years old. I won't tell you what movie it is, but I think that you'll know when you hear the melodic line of the song, because the movie began in this particular scene. There was no character in the picture at all, but there was one vessel that was moving across the screen. And as that vessel starts moving across the screen, a song started playing, and it was bum, 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 bum. And my son goes, "That's Darth Vader in that ship, da-da-da." And I was amazed by my son. I hadn't ever talked about the fact that when you hear that music, that's the Imperial March that's signaling that Darth Vader is there. Darth Vader in the third original movie, so episode 6, he'd never been introduced. All you see is his spacecraft flying across. But when he heard, you know, 9 notes, bum, 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 he knew that's Darth Vader's spaceship right there. Darth Vader's got to be in there because he recognized the melodic line. As we start, we're just going to draw some musical notes. This is going to take more time than I wanted. Just imagine that's all filled in. And then we'll go like this. And then we'll imagine that this one's all filled in also. That's our note that signals to us the beginning of the melodic line. Yeah, this is copyright, whoever invented musical notation. So whoever invented musical notation gets credit for this one. And there's some observations I just want for us to note. So every song has a unique melody that's repeated throughout the song. The melodic line captures the essence of that song and makes it recognizable. Thus, when you hear just the beginning of the Imperial March, you realize, oh, that's Darth Vader's theme. You understand you're watching Star Wars. The melodic line of the song makes the whole song coherent and holds it together. And you can sort of understand where you are in the course of the song by what part of the melodic line that you're on. The principle is that just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message. Just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message. And if you would, I'd love if you just write that down. Just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message. The melodic line captures the essence of the book, of the whole book, making the entire book recognizable to us. The melodic line, you don't have to write down all this stuff. I'm extrapolating. I'm drawing out the principle. The principle, of course, being just as every song is a unique melody, every book of the Bible's got a unique message. This is sort of an extrapolation from that. So the melodic line makes the book coherent. In some way, every passage is related to the melodic line. So we're going to be handling individual passages that fall within a book. Our preaching is going to be the most effective when first we take the time to understand how the text relates to the message of the book as a whole. When we recognize how our specific passage fits in, how the note that we have to sing in that particular time fits in with a broader melodic line of this book. Let me just reflect with you and share with you a few ways that there might be practical value to preaching a text while understanding the whole book. So one of the ways that we can know that there's practical value is I try to give, whenever I'm starting a new book of the Bible, I try to give something of what the melodic line of the book is to the congregation at the outset. So we're preaching through John now at Orland Park Christian Reformed Church. It warms my heart. I had a couple of weeks ago a wonderful woman, Linda Miltzow is her name. She leads our hospitality committee at church. And she goes, you know, I was reading John chapter 11 and it said believe in there. And I thought, pastor said we should expect it to talk about believing. And that was one of those moments where I was like, that is a great joy. She recognized that since we were in John, we should hear about belief and we should expect all of that. The reality is it's unlikely that any one of your sermons or my sermons will sort of stick so well in the minds of our congregants that they'll be like, oh, I remember when you preached John chapter 1 and your 3 points, you know, however many years or weeks ago, and you were talking about these sorts of things. I'm guessing if you were to ask your congregation, you know, what did I preach about 1 month ago, you might be discouraged. You might be discouraged. The individual sermons might not land or last. If I were to ask you what you preached on a month ago, you might not be able to remember or tell me. But what will likely stay with the congregation is the melodic line of the book, is an understanding of what the book is all about, where it's gone and where it takes us. When we understand the melodic line, we can rightly understand our passage and how it relates to the book. And then also, just we implicitly teach the members of our congregation how to read a book when we're preaching along a melodic line and making it clear that there are these themes that are drawn out through the entirety of the book. There might be some negative temptations if we don't use a melodic line. If we don't know what the entire book's about, we might miss the point of a specific text. We don't just apply a few verses in our preaching. We apply those verses under the agenda of an entire book. And this is a part of the beauty of melodic line, is that it broadens the text to you so that you understand that it's not just functioning by itself, but you see how it fits in this piece. And if you were to abstract it from that, you might actually miss something big because you have missed out how it connects to the other aspects of what it is that you're preaching. And then knowing the melodic line, here's the other temptation is knowing the melodic line, we might be tempted to preach just the melodic line. So as you come to know the melodic line in a book, you might be tempted to just preach that every week. That's not what we're hoping you'll leave with when we talk about melodic line here in Simeon. I just want to acknowledge that that's a temptation at the outset. The point is that we know where we are in relation to the whole thing. You know, like the Imperial March isn't just the first nine notes repeated over and over again. That wouldn't be a very good thing. And so you want your specific part of the song to be able to sing in relation to the whole thing, but you want to sing your specific part. You don't want to just preach the melodic line. So, every book has a melodic line. That's what this picture is connecting here. The principle is just telling us how just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message. So, in determining a melodic line, I would love for all of us to work together. Now, I'm going to solicit from you some strategies in determining the melodic line of a particular book. What are some strategies for determining a melodic line of a text, a book? Repeated phrases, exactly. Very good. So So, you know, this is super clear in a book like Philippians where you have like rejoice repeated over and over and over again. And you realize, oh, this is a melodic line here. He keeps saying rejoice all throughout. So repeated phrases is a huge... You're getting ahead of me. This is great. Superior is a great one. But it's repeated words or phrases or images or ideas. All of this is huge in getting to what the melodic line of the passage is. Thank you. Yes, the beginning and the end. Beginning and end. It's a big one. Oftentimes, there are similarities in books at the very beginning and at the very end. And if you read the beginning and then you read the end and you see some of those similarities, that will often be a point of connection in determining what the melodic line is of the whole book. Any other strategies for determining? Yeah. Oh man, that's so good. That's so good. If you read and reread and reread and reread and reread and listen to it and read it again. Now, this is an important tool. And I think that the challenge for us is how many of us do this. You know, in the course of your studying, if you're preparing for your next sermon series, how many of us are reading that over and over and over and over and over again? Because it's real good, but it only works if you do it. If you read it and reread it and read it and then read it out loud. It's a great one. Thank you. Any other strategies? Yeah, so like figuring out what like the big structure of the book is, like a macro structure sort of thing, is a great way to figure out.
This is one that I tend to assume, but then I forget to do it, and that's just to pray that God would help me see.
That's right. One of the things that I want to make sure that we're in agreement about is that throughout all of this, we're praying throughout all of these processes, that prayer is a part of all of this. Again, these tools are to be used by the Holy Spirit in our preparation. They're not to displace the work of the ministry of prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit. So that's huge.
It doesn't help with Hebrews, but maybe the author?
I love the way that you said that, because very often at the very beginning of the book, the author will introduce himself and tell you about who he is. And there's something else that often can come at the very beginning of the book, not just the beginning and the end, but oftentimes at the beginning of the book, you can find like a purpose statement or something like that from the author that's giving the message. So, for example, in 1 Corinthians, when Paul is talking to the 1 Corinthians, he gives a purpose statement. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. So he's writing to you so that you might be united. And he'll develop that throughout the rest of the book. It shouldn't be surprising to us that we see many appeals to unity throughout the rest of the book, because Paul has shown us right away at the beginning in his introduction this purpose statement that is why he is writing this. That's great. That is great. Wonderful job. I want for us to do some work now to experience how these function, how these work in action. So I would love for us all to turn to the book of Jude. Turn with me to the book of Jude. Some of you have tried to work this exercise before. For all of us, this is going to be helpful. We're going to do some work in another epistle, the epistle being the book of Jude. And then after Jude, we're going to turn to Hebrews to do some of our work in the book of Hebrews. So Jude is helpful because it's brief. And so I want for us to use different strategies. So the first strategy, we're going to use the beginning and the end. I want for you guys to pair off into partners. And with your partners, I want for you to read Jude 1 and 24 through 25. So in your partners, read Jude 1 and 24 and 25. I want for you to look for words or phrases that you see at the beginning and at the end of the book. Just with a partner, read that. All right. Come on back to me here. What is the common idea or the repeated word or idea that takes place in Jude 1 and Jude 24 and 25? Yell it out for me. Keep, yeah, or kept, keep. Keep is this word or phrase. You see keep at both the beginning and the end. What I want for you to do is to now talk with your partner, and I would like for you to just craft right out for me one sentence. So knowing that keep is this repeated idea, see how it's functioning in 1 and 24, and see if you could just craft for me the first kind of sentence that would describe what the melodic line, what the through line might be of this particular book, given that repetition. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes just to write that sentence out. I want you to write out a melodic line. All right, let's come on back. Let me hear some melodic lines that you guys have put together based on the first and the last part of the book. Let me just raise a hand or let me call on somebody. I want to hear some melodic lines. Yeah.
How Christ keeps us from stumbling and falling in us before Christ or before God.
Yeah, so a melodic line based on this, how Christ keeps us to present us before God. That's what we should be looking for throughout the book. Yeah.
I also like verse 3. So those kept by Christ should contend for Christ.
All right, that's great. I love that you know Jude well enough. We'll get there. We'll bring in verse 3. Let's focus on the beginning and the end right now. Let's focus just on the beginning and the end. Any other melodic lines based on just the beginning and the end?
Kept for Jesus, kept by Jesus.
That's a good start on a melodic line. I really like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to complicate things a little bit for us. And the challenge of a tool like melodic line is that as you're making use of it, it's sort of like if you're cleaning out your closet. And first things get way more messy before they start getting cleared out. So we're going to complicate things a little bit before we start to get maybe a more precise melodic line. Because as you take a look at some repetition throughout the book, your melodic line is going to need to shift. So I'm going to ask for you, you know, this word keep is repeated throughout the text here. I'm going to ask for you to read verse 6 with your partner, and then I'm going to ask you to read verse 13, and then I'm going to ask you to read verse 21, and that word or that idea is present in each one of those verses, but after you read that, I'm going to ask you to edit your melodic line with the new information that this repeated word has brought into the process for us. So read these verses, and then based upon the repetition, edit your melodic line. All right, let me hear some edited melodic lines based upon some of this information that we've received here. The Lord keeps those who keep themselves. It's good, Ben Franklin, yeah.
If God's keeping you for himself, he'll produce something good from it. If he's keeping you from himself, he'll produce nothing but futility and bad.
This is good. Any other melodic lines that we have written here? Be devoted to Christ and preserve that devotion. How is verse 6 playing into all of your melodic lines here? He's kept in eternal chains.
6 and 13 together.
Yeah.
Talking about
darkness has been kept for certain men. How does the reality of that play into your melodic line?
He's the keeper of all things.
He's the keeper of all things.
We didn't have time to really play with it a little bit, but you know, he's keeping those out of heaven that are not kept themselves, and keeping those ready for heaven that do keep themselves.
Yeah, that's right. So keep is being used in a couple different ways, and so what you can see is that the melodic line starts to become more challenging for us at this point, right? Because Dave told me I had to. Just kidding. Here's the challenge of all of it is that if we just had the first, you know, if we just have the first, check this out. I can make this bigger now. If we just have the first note, it becomes pretty simple. Whoa. Look at that.
Nice.
That is a full note right there. It becomes pretty simple, but it's one note. It's like, hey, Jesus is going to keep all of us. That's great. But then we start taking a look at other uses of it, and we realize that the melody becomes a bit more complex. And maybe there's, you know, a note that is a little bit more difficult, maybe even a flat note. Is that how you do a flat? Other way? Whatever. Yeah, DB. This is how I'm sneaking a copyright into here. Let's add another layer of complexity, because Jude also has a purpose statement. So we've used a couple different strategies, beginning and end, repeated words or phrases or ideas. Now we're going to use a purpose statement, which our dear brother in the back alerted us to, that we've got verse 3 here that functions as a purpose statement. It was really wonderful. I'd like for you to, with your partner, read the purpose statement, and then I'd love to hear how that impacts the creation of your melodic line as you take into consideration the complexity that the repetition is introduced and the beginning and the end. All right, you guys have had a little time to read that. I'd love to hear how this impacts your melodic line. I'd love to have just some offerings from you guys to hear provisional melodic lines as we take into consideration these three tools that we've now made use of. Oh, just call it out.
Also means some level to guard. So Christ is guarding you for himself. Christ is also guarding the evil fallen angels. Now what are we called to do? We're all by contend for the faith. What are we doing? We're guarding the faith as well. So it's that the keeping isn't just putting off on a shelf. It's more of an active guarding type idea.
Yes, yeah.
I love to throw myself out of the bus. What about exhorting? You know, he's encouraging them to contend for the faith or keep the faith. So there's something there in that.
Yes, so you're getting at something that's really important. So one aspect of melodic line is determining some of the tone of the book that we're reading. And verse 3 gives to us kind of the tone that we can read this book of the Bible in. So the word in verse 3 that stands out to all of us that we've made mention of is what in verse 3? Contend. And so that gives us a certain sense of the tone of this book. What would the tone of this book be?
Fight.
There's a fighting. There's a striving. There's a standing against. This isn't just a pleasant book. This isn't the sort of book that you're going to read at your friend's wedding reception. You're not going to be like, hey, guys, I'm so excited for you on this day. I just have a couple of verses for you from Jude that we're going to listen to as my best man speech here now. That's just not the context in which this is going to fit. And the melodic line that's given to us by this purpose statement helps us to see that. So this helps us to see a little bit more of the melody here. So we've got another note. Let's now take these tools and let's try to apply this to the book of Hebrews. We're going to make use of one of our strategies. We're going to make use of the strategy, the beginning and the end. So with your partner, I want for you to read the beginning and the end. I'll give you the verses. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3, and Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21. So with your partners, read Hebrews 1, 1 to 3, and 13, 20 to 21, and craft for me a provisional melodic line, just making use of the information in these two sections of Scripture, the beginning and the end. Now, I know we've done a lot of study otherwise, and we're going to fine-tune this together, but just based upon what you have at the beginning and the end, craft for me the kind of melodic line that would make sense of the beginning and the end of Hebrews, because there will be repeated notions. All right, guys, what are some words or phrase, what are some similarities between the beginning and the end of the book that you discerned? What were some similarities about the beginning and the end contained in both of those passages? Glory, the Son, Jesus, God the Father. Covenant language.
Blood.
The work of the Son. All right, so there's a lot of connections there between the beginning and the end of the book. So seeing those, if you were to, you know, say you're in your pastor study, you recognize, all right, my next sermon series is going to be on the book of Hebrews. I'm going to start it in the new year. I'm starting in January. I've got, you know, this amount of time. And so you're like, I want to just start by employing some of these tools in my study of all of this. So you've employed the tools, you looked at the beginning, you've looked at the end, and you just want to jot down a melodic line to give you a sense of where this book is going in the beginning of your study before your next meeting, before the organ repairman comes in 15 minutes. What do you have from these connections between the beginning and the end of the book? Any melodic lines that you wrote?
Who is the eternal Christ?
Who is the eternal Christ? So the, connecting the eternality and the fact that Jesus has spoken of it both?
Because Jesus has all things, he equips us to do all things for his glory.
So this is a book about Jesus having all things and being able to equip us for all things for his glory is something that we could have from taking a look at the top, the beginning, and the end of the book. Any other melodic lines that you guys were able to come up with that gives us a sense of what this book is all about?
In the first part, it talks about him being heir, doesn't it? Did I miss it?
Yep, it does.
Okay, then, it does. Then you go back over in the last two here, and it says, the shepherd of through the blood of the everlasting covenant, you know, so the heir and covenant would be something I'm seeing there, maybe.
Through the blood of the eternal covenant, that's right.
Could it be like something like the covenant kept through the glorious Lamb of God?
Yeah. Why don't you switch lamb to another word for maybe a child, a male child?
Son.
So what would that be if you made that edit?
It would be the covenant kept through the glorious Son of God.
The covenant kept through the glorious Son of God. That is a great melodic line based upon, you know, that would be a great start to be like, all right, as I go into this book, I know I'm going to be preaching it. I've looked at the beginning. I've looked at the end. This is going to be a book about the covenant that's kept through the glorious Son of God. That would be a great place to start.
Because we talked about the covenant.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So that's what you've done. The organ repairman is here. The 50th anniversary celebration was a great success. You're saving the organ now after all of it. He does his repairs. You go back. You get fixated on the sermon that you're writing for this week. It's a week later. You're coming back. You had jotted down that this is a book about the covenant being kept by the glorious Son. And you're like, you know what? That's January, the first Sunday in January is a little bit closer. I need to do some more work on this to try to sharpen it. Because there is more complexity within the book of Hebrews, and as we start employing more tools, things start to get a little bit more complex for us, but we can also start crafting a melodic line that is maybe more precise in carrying out what's happening within the book of Hebrews. So there's a comparison that's going on in the book of Hebrews. There's something comparative. And so I want for you with your partner to read Hebrews 1, verse 4, 3, verse 3, 7, verses 18 to 19, and 8, verses 6 to 7. I want for you to read those. I've got those up there for you. I want for you to read those with your partner, and then I'd love for you to, again, just write out a statement that might be your edited melodic line, understanding what that one sentence might be that would capture the essence of the book. All right, as you've read those sections of Scripture, what's the comparison that's going on here throughout the book? Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Whoops, that's Rodin again there. Sorry.
Oh, that's much clearer.
Yeah, it's much clearer. So, you know, all right, let's focus in again. We don't need to worry about that.
Can you fill
them up? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're doing the thinker now. So we've had these different notes that we've understood. That are making their way on here. We've talked about the Son, about covenant. We've talked about glory. Now we've got some new ideas here to include the fact that he's better. Each one of these are filling out our melodic line here. Better. So, let me know what your work is now. Now that you're sort of complicating your melodic line, you're making it a little bit more specific. You're introducing this idea of Jesus being better. What do the melodic lines sound like that we've put together now? Somebody read me what they've got for their melodic line.
The greater glory of Christ through the better work of Christ for our greater benefit.
This is good. I want you to come write stuff at my church. That was you? All right, you're hired. Orland Park Christian Reformed Church needs another staff member. All right. Well, we'll fight after this, all right? It'll be great. That was really good. Anybody else? What's that? Yeah, you can send that around with your own copyright on it. Any other melodic lines? Would you read yours again?
The greater glory of Christ through the better work of Christ for our greater benefit.
For our greater benefit. This is really great. This is really great. Now, as we've kind of understood that there is this comparison and Christ being superior is a part of all of this, and I just gave you guys a few verses because throughout the passage, I've made a little list here of different ones. You have Jesus being superior to prophets and angels and Moses and the Sabbath and other priests and the earthly priesthood and the old covenant and animal sacrifices and daily offerings. All of these, Jesus is greater than. I just gave you a few of them. It's all throughout that. And so that's going to be a major part of you crafting your melodic line. One of the things that it's important for us to get at also is, what's the tone of the book that's going on in the course of this book? And so I want for you to look with me at a few different sections of Scripture, 2 verses 14 to 18, 3 verses 14 to 16, and 6 verses 9 through 12. And figure out what is happening in each one of these sections along with your partner. Figure out what's happening in these sections along with your partner and how that gives to us some of the tone of what's going on in the melodic line. What? Oh, I did something wrong. I gave you the wrong verses. I gave you the wrong verses. We're going to use those just next step. First, let's do 2 verses 1 through 4. 4 verses 12 to 13. 6 verses 4 through 8. There we go. This is what I want you to do. I want you to look at these ones. Let's come on back here. I, again, made an error. This is supposed to be 3. But you know what I'm trying to do. So what's happening in at least the majority of these sorts of things? What's going on in this section here? He's warning. He's warning. That's right. He's warning. This is a part of the test here. He's warning them. And so that gives you a sense of what is going to be a part of the tone of this book. How does that impact our understanding of how we read at least some of this book?
To proceed cautiously.
Yeah, that's right. Anything else? What's the tone in those sorts of sections? It's intense. It's intense. It's urgent.
That's close attention to what we are, how we're living our lives.
That's right. That's right. So there are these periods of warning. There are actually 5 of them throughout the book, and you'd be able to discern them by using this strategy of macro structure, which is what we're doing right here. We're looking at this macro structure divided into these times of warning. But after each time of warning, there's something else that follows immediately on its heels. And I'm just going to give us one verse that's an example of all of that. We just talked about it in our times together. So in 4, somebody read for us 4 verses 14 to 16. Chapter 4, verses 14 to 16.
Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace.
That's right. So what's happening in this section of Scripture? What's the tone here? Encouragement. That's right, pastoral. Encouragement, pastoral. So after these times of warning, there's these times of encouragement or pastoral words. The same thing happens the last text that we talked about in our group, chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. What's being accomplished in this? What's he doing in this section of Scripture just based upon your study and your groups here? After this warning, what comes? You just talked about it in your small groups. That's right. And so what's the tone here? Encouragement. Yeah, so you have these repeated things throughout the book where you'll have these this is part of the macro structure here, where you'll have these times of warning, and then you'll have these times of wooing. And these come together to create a really interesting melodic movement of the line here. Now, as we're kind of wrapping up here, we're not going to create our own melodic line because I don't want to give the idea that you could craft the whole melodic line of a book of the Bible in just the 20 minutes that we've spent on this. But we've made some substantial progress in this 20 minutes. We've realized, man, this is a book that's about the Son. It's about the fact that He is greater than anything else, than anyone else. It's a book that will have stern warnings and gentle wooing to trust in Him and follow Him. We don't have time to go through the fact that some of the things that Dave mentioned in his last talk, that there's going to be this endurance piece to all of it. There will be this let us piece that goes into all of this. And as we would continue our work throughout our weeks, as we get to the time where we're going to be preaching this, we should have a pretty precise notion of what the book of Hebrews is all about that will lead to us preaching individual parts of the text better, clearer, and more in line with the line of the book. All right. Well, I think that one of the reasons that I've loved the melodic line talk in the past is that it helps us to hear that the Bible's singing, that the message of the Bible is just being sung to us. And that's part of what's wonderful in just working through some of these texts with you, brothers, is that we realize that the book of Hebrews is singing to us a really glorious message about the glory of the Son, about how he's superior to anything and everything else. It's doing that sometimes in intense tones that are warning. It's doing it sometimes in these gentle, tender words that are just like a balm for a weary soul. But all of it is singing to us of the fact that Jesus is better than anything else. And it's singing to all of us to just recognize the greatness of God the Son. And that's part of what I hope we'll do is just fall in love with that glorious message. And melodic line helps us to get there. And so we've got our notes. And the principle is this, that every song has a unique melody, and just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message. And recognizing that helps us to preach our text in the context of the broader message.